From time to time, you might hear our real estate expert, Terry Story, quote my next guest. Why? Because he writes a great feature every week in a nationally syndicated column, Ask a Real Estate Pro, and that appears in the Sun Sentinel and I think about 400 other papers throughout the country. You can also listen to him. He's a co-host on Legal News and Review, which airs on WSBR 96.9 FM, 3:30 every Monday. His name is Gary Singer. Gary, welcome to the show.
Steve, thanks for having me.
Let's get right down to it because, you know, when I do my interviews with Terry Story, we always go, you know, ask Terry, and then we see the material that you write. So the material is all things about homeowners, homeownership, and condo ownership and stuff. So I saw an article that you wrote that said six lessons for homeowners. Let's go through that list real quick. Go ahead. First one.
You bet. Sure. Well, about once a year, my editors let me do kind of a non-question and answer. The column's a question and answer. I just can take some lessons and give people tips on how to deal with their property. Because let's face it, you don't have to deal with problems with your property every day. You don't buy a new house every day.
Right.
So it's hard to know what to do. So my tips are pretty straightforward. When your home is damaged, first thing you do is don't worry about the legality. Stop the damage. Put a tarp over the hole in the roof. Close the window, put a board over it, whatever you have to do not to let it get damaged. You can always deal with compensation later, but if you let it get worse, yeah, that can actually hurt your chances of getting fully compensated. So don't let your home get damaged further. You should always make sure you have proper insurance on your property, including flood insurance. And a lot of people, especially in condominiums, say, hey, the condo association has insurance. Why do I need insurance? Because the truth is it doesn't cover inside your unit. And I've seen a lot of people get hurt by either having no insurance or by shopping insurance only by price. Make sure you get the coverage you need. You know, you feel like you're paying for nothing, but let me tell you, when it works and when you need it,
yeah,
it can save your financial life.
Well, let me take this a bit further here. So if you're not in a flood zone, would you still recommend getting flood insurance?
If you're in a flood zone or in an optional flood zone, I do recommend getting flood insurance. So basically, if you can get the nationally subsidized flood insurance and be part of that program, you should get it.
Okay.
There's a lot of things your normal homeowner's insurance doesn't cover that only flood insurance covers. And if one of those things happen, anything to do basically with rising water, and you say, hey, I'm on the fifth floor of the condo, what am I going to worry about a flood?
Yeah.
Well, it can affect your whole condominium, make it so you can't live in it if you can't get to the elevator to get up to the fifth floor.
And
if you don't have coverage, you're going to lose valuable protections. And it's cheap.
Now, if there's a hole in your roof because of a hurricane, let's say, a little maybe mini tornado, and your house gets flooded, does it cover that kind of flooding or is it only flooding from the ground up?
Typically, your hurricane coverage would cover that incoming water from the rain, whereas rising water, say you have a flood surge, would be covered by flood insurance. So you do need both.
Okay. So let's move on. The next point is if you have a problem getting your insurance company to pay a claim, persistence and patience will pay off. Tell me about that.
So it's not just your insurance company paying a claim. It's also your mortgage company when they misapply a payment, your homeowners association. Well, when they do the same where they're making a big deal because your mailbox is the wrong shade of green.
Yeah.
Be persistent and be patient. Don't get mad at the person in front of you. Be firm. Don't give up your rights, but always be polite. If you start getting nasty with the people, it's not going to lead to something good.
Yeah.
I understand you're frustrated. Download a game on your iPhone and, you know, beat up on some little trolls or something. But don't yell at the person who you need to help you.
Right.
It goes the wrong way. And while I'm dealing with it and you're dealing with any of those issues, take lots of notes, lots of photos.
Yeah.
If they tell you something on the phone, send them a letter or an email repeating it back to them. Hey, I'm just going over what you said. That sort of thing.
You know, when people live in a condominium, there's an awful lot of rules sometimes. And a lot of times people, you know, maybe don't read the documents all that well, or there's a surprise rule that comes on them that they just don't like. What do you recommend there?
I recommend knowing yourself. You got to know if you're the type of person who wants to trade some of your freedoms, if you will, for a really well set up, pretty environment that's controlled. The perfect example is actually myself and my brother. My brother lives in a beautiful association. Everything's manicured out in Weston, Florida. It's beautiful, but at the same time, he can't make his mailbox any color. They come out with a little ruler to measure his lawn.
Mm-hmm.
I live in old Parkland where I don't have any association. So if I wanted to paint my house, you know, day glow green, that wouldn't be an issue. I like the freedoms. He likes coming through the pretty gates, yeah. And it's really what you want. But know that if you're going to live in that association, those rules apply to you too. So don't go saying, oh, well, I want to do my mailbox, but I don't want anyone else to. Understand who you are and buy the house that's right for you.
Well, you know, here's a question that came up that you answered in one of your columns. And here's a question. My homeowners association wants me to ask permission to put up a security camera. Can they make me do this?
So that's a really good question. That's a slightly unsettled area of law, meaning that depending on the situation, that's a question that can go either way. So if the security camera can be seen from the street, then it might be considered something that affects what we call your elevation, which is the way your house looks. In which case, if they have in the docs the right to control that sort of thing, usually an architectural committee, you may have to ask permission to do it. If it's unseen, then they typically cannot, as long as that camera doesn't invade anyone else's reasonable expectation of privacy, mm-hmm. including in associations, which is a little different when you're not, sometimes the sidewalk or the street. So if you're going to have the camera, make it low-key. Don't make it one of those ones that turns on a floodlight when there's motion because it's going to bother your neighbor and get a complaint. Yeah. And make sure you're not pointing into the neighbor's bathroom or not pointing into the street, sort of thing. Be reasonable with it.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, if it's done properly, your association really can't stop you from having a camera, but they can make you do it the right way and jump through a few hoops.
That's good advice. By the way, Gary Singer is a practicing board certified real estate attorney, so he knows of which he speaks. So a lot of the issues these days come up with pets, especially in these condo communities. So one question was, Jane asks, I always love saying that, and Jane from Margate asks, our condo is designated pet-free in our community documents. I'm about to rent and I want to keep the apartment in good shape. If I include a no pets clause in the lease, and here's the point, am I forced to accept emotional support or service animals?
You know, the answer to this, and this is a question that's so hot and we get all the time, both in my real practice and in the newspaper column. The point is, and she said it right in her question, you can put a no pets clause in your lease and it's perfectly valid and enforceable. And the reason is that an emotional support animal or a service animal is not a pet. It's an animal. And no, you can't stop someone with a real disability from getting something to help them with that disability. So an emotional support animal is an animal, oftentimes a small dog, mm-hmm. that it doesn't have to be trained, but it does have a therapeutic benefit for people with psychiatric or mental disabilities. It provides, you know, therapeutic emotional support. And because that's someone who has a disability that needs help, you can't stop it any more than you can say no to someone with a cane, for example. Mm-hmm. Now, a service animal, and we typically think of that as a seeing eye dog, is even a higher level of compliance with that. Yeah. And those are individually trained animals for specific tasks. And we don't get a ton of questions about service animals. I think people kind of have that in their head. But because emotional support animals are occasionally abused, where someone tries to sneak their pet through.
Right.
So, you know, as a landlord, you can check. If it's coming from some internet website saying that the person, you can say, no, it's got to be a doctor, you know, a real doctor who you're actually seeing. Mm-hmm. But once you have that letter from that real doctor, you can't question it. You're not a doctor. You can't disagree with the diagnosis. And you know what? You can't discriminate against someone with disabilities. Okay. That's just wrong.
Right.
I mean, forget legal. It's illegal and it's very actionable. You can get a lot of trouble financially, but it's also wrong to discriminate against people. So don't do it.
Okay.
Remember, the key to this is support animals are animals, not pets. If you remember that, you know exactly where the line is.
So if you see the word pets in the document and you're thinking about support animals, they're animals. So that's where you make the distinction.
They're not pets. They're for a real purpose of helping someone with a disability. They're not pets. That's right.
All right. Well, my apologies to all you homeowners because I do have another question and it's about condos. I don't know why I'm focusing on condos today, but this happened to my mother-in-law, actually. She was living in a community where there were two large separate buildings. And the building she lived in, all of the plants and the design of everything outside was poorly kept up. So water would flood the driveways and plants were stomped on and never replanted. The other building is where the president of the association lived, and it was beautiful. And she complained bitterly, and you could see the difference, and no matter what she did, she couldn't really seem to get any relief. What's the story on the president of association kind of getting special dispensation? And I'm not talking about criminal where they're stealing money, but though that may be something we want to address, but just this idea that they're taking care of their own and they're not taking care of the community.
Sure. It's pretty straightforward, is that the president and the board have to treat the whole community equal. They can't treat themselves special. They can't go and, you know, put all the nice stuff in front of their unit and ignore the rest. They have to treat themselves the same as everyone else.
So what do you do? What do you do about it?
The first thing you do, obviously, is complain. There's power in numbers. So the more of your neighbors that are annoyed by it and say something, mm-hmm. the easier it is to get the problem fixed. You can, you know, do it the right way. You can write a letter to the board. You can go to the board meeting and try to discuss with them. And there's a procedure for that. But if that doesn't work, you can have what's called a recall election. So if enough of the homeowners wants to kick the bum out, you can actually make a new election and kick the bum out and get a new board member who's going to treat everyone fairly in there. The biggest problem with condos is that not enough people want to volunteer the time and trouble to run for the board. So sometimes you end up with these situations.
Yeah.
The hard part with this is fixing this problem is going to take work and effort and time.
Yeah.
It's not an instant fix like you can call the condo police.
Yeah,
there's no such thing.
Yeah.
So you may have to get that recall election. Now, if you try to do that and you have the right numbers and they don't want to cooperate with it, you can get the state to step in. Now, if it gets so bad and they're abusing the docks, individual condominium unit owners do have a private right to enforce the docks. So, for example, if they're breaking community rules, if it's a little worse than what you were describing, you can actually, one unit owner can sue another unit owner to try to make them follow the rules.
Mm.
Now, I don't recommend running out and doing this. It's difficult and expensive, but it is another option if all else fails.
Okay, good. Well, my guest, Gary Singer, writes a column every single week from the Sun Sentinel, which is syndicated throughout the country. And you can also catch him on WSBR 96.9 FM from 3:30 to 4 every Monday. He is a practicing board-certified real estate attorney. Gary Singer, thank you so much for joining us and filling us in with all your wonderful knowledge. Take care.
Thanks for having me. Take care. Appreciate it.
To hear this and any interview again, you know, to ask us any questions, we love your questions. Come to our website, which is stevepomerantz.com. And while you're there, sign up for our weekly update where you'll get all this information. You'll get the audio and a summary and a transcript if you'd like, so you can read it or listen to it at a time of your own convenience. That's stevepomerantz.com.